Welcome to the Giraffe Social Media Podcast. It's what social media managers are talking about. I'm Caitlin McKenzie, and on today's episode, I'm direct messaging fashion blogger and influencer Weekend News, aka our very own social media assistant, Chloe Bellchamber. Hi, Chloe. How are you doing?
Hello. Good, thank you. How are you?
Well, thanks. So where are you joining us from today in the world?
I am joining you firstly from my living room, but in Brighton, down at East Sussex.
Yeah, very nice. And can you tell me a little bit about what you do at Giraffe when you aren't influencing online, just to get us started?
Of course. I'm a social media assistant here at Giraffe, so I deal a lot with creating people's schedules, doing some community management, and I'm also involved in our influencer marketing program, and I do a bit of product photography too. So a bit of an all-rounder here at Giraffe.
Awesome. Okay, well, we're going to get started with some quick fire questions just to really get to know you like ASAP. And of course, as always, you haven't been briefed on these. So are you ready?
Hit me.
So oat milk latte or cold brew coffee?
Oh gosh, probably a latte.
Good choice. London or Sydney?
Oh, so you got my two favorite cities there. I will probably... You've really stumped me. I'm going to go London just because it's still very like exciting for me to be in London.
Sure. Okay, then Brighton or Byron?
Ooh, they're very similar wavelength, you know, but I've been to Byron a few more times than I've lived in Brighton. So I'm going to go with Brighton.
Nice. Twitter or Facebook?
Probably Facebook. I don't have Twitter, nor do I know how to use it.
Makes sense. Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera?
Probably Britney.
Cats or dogs?
Definitely dogs. 100% dogs. Keep your cats away from me. I'm sorry.
Monochrome or neutrals?
Definitely neutrals. If you know me or if you follow me, you know I'm a neutrals gal.
For anybody listening, according to Chloe's Instagram bio, she is the queen of neutrals. So yeah, I had to throw that question in there. Banana bread or cinnamon buns?
Ooh, banana bread.
Sneakers or stilettos?
Definitely sneakers. Comfort always comes first.
The Kardashians or the Obamas?
I don't want to seem shallow, but the Kardashians.
Hey, this is a safe space. Instagram stories or direct messages?
Ooh, probably stories.
And if you could only communicate using Instagram stories or by doing expressive dance, what would you choose?
Definitely stories. I'm not a dancer.
Do you know what? You're the first person to have chosen that, and I am genuinely shocked. Everybody always says expressive dance, and I'm like, you haven't thought that through.
I like it sounds fun on first hearing it, but I don't imagine that would be... I don't think it would work out for me.
Expressive dancing into a boardroom or something, yeah.
Yeah, like emphasis on the word expressive. No thanks.
So for anyone listening, we probably should mention, obviously, a few of those questions were Australia-centric. And if you haven't noticed Chloe's accent, Chloe is, of course, Australian. So whereabouts in Australia are you from?
I was born in Sydney, and then I moved up to Brisbane, which is in Queensland, when I was in like the second grade. So for people who don't know me, I say Sydney because it sounds a bit more cool, but I'd probably say I'm from Brisbane.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit more about, obviously, we're all working from home at the minute here at Giraffe. How are you finding the COVID working life?
Do you know what? At first, I was loving it. I really am sort of an introverted homebody. So to be able to like wake up, roll out of bed and just like head to my desk was heaven. Mm-hmm. But I think now coming into what, almost November, I just need to be in an office. I'm calling all of our coworkers going like, hey, let's just chat because yeah, I'm really actually craving some, you know, work banter, human contact.
For sure. It's the little things, right, that we would normally have, like over a cup of tea or something like that.
Absolutely. And now I feel when people call me, I'm kind of like, okay, like what needs doing? What have I done wrong? Like, mm-hmm. And I'm not as open for a chat because it feels a bit unnatural.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And it's quite funny. We've worked together for 6 months now and we have never met in person. And this is probably never one of met. Our first proper one-on-one chats. So
exactly. A little first date everyone's hearing right now.
We're so glad you could all be a part of it. So you, of course, work in social media and, you know, when you're not at work at your day job, you are Weekend Muse on Instagram. So can you tell us a bit about your platform and your page?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it kind of all started just after I graduated high school. I was very into photography all through school and growing up, and I used to make my friends let me take photos of them. And then when I graduated, it was kind of when blogging was at its peak, and I was like, okay, I'm going to start a blog and I'm going to write about trends and fashion that I'm loving. And eventually I kind of got bored of the writing and thought, okay, instead of talking about it, why don't I show people? And that's kind of when I made the transition from being behind the camera to being in front. And then over the years, it's kind of moved from blogging kind of over to Instagram and being more of a fashion account, which I much prefer.
Sure. So do you still do any blogging at all? Or are you like focusing all of your energies on the Instagram page?
Yeah, I mean, the blog is still there. Don't look it up because it hasn't been updated in a while. And I do have a lot of times brands will reach out and be like, oh, do you want to put this on your blog? And I'm like, I can, but nobody goes there. So I'm pretty much, yeah, full-time focusing my energy on Instagram.
Well, it's obviously paying off and we can chat about a bit more about that as we go. So how long have you been doing the page? So you said when you graduated high school, but
yeah,
how long is that?
Probably, I think 5 years ago. I think I either graduated in 2014 or 15, so long ago now. But yeah, I've been like online in sort of a blogging capacity for 5 years.
Wow, it's really exciting. It's quite funny, isn't it? Like, I swear March feels about 5 years ago, so that sounds even longer.
Right.
So how do you feel about like the influencer title?
You know, it's kind of what I like to say, like a complicated relationship, because having, I guess, a smaller following, I feel like I haven't earned the right for the influencer title. I feel like that's kind of reserved for the people with, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of followers. But when I really think about it, I think kind of the most influential people that are online are the people that have those smaller connected audiences. And, you know, I kind of have to like check myself because I do have a lot of people that will message me and be like, oh, where did you get this? And then end up buying it because they saw me wear it. I'm like, wow, I had influence. So
yeah.
I don't typically refer to myself as an influencer. I prefer like blogger or content creator, but it always makes me feel special when someone does refer to me as an influencer. So,
well, that's definitely how I and we consider you. So
thank you.
Definitely deserving of that title. So as well as being a gorgeous page full of fashion inspiration, you also seem to offer quite a lot of education and insights for influencers and content creators, like your Pay Me Insta highlight. I was just wondering if you could explain like what prompted you to start posting that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it kind of, the Pay Me highlight started more as a bit of a joke, like within myself, and out of pure frustration for the way that the industry kind of works. I mean, I work in an agency and we do work with influencers and we always pay our influencers. But I guess in a larger sense, a lot of content creators don't get paid, and me being one of them. So yeah, I kind of thought I would share these experiences and these frustrations just because I'm nosy and I kind of wanted to see if anyone else was going through the same thing. And yeah, it's turned into kind of one of my biggest talking factors over on Instagram, because I had loads of responses when I initially started talking about it. You know, people from 5,000 followers to 200,000 followers were all saying, yeah, I don't get paid either, which is crazy, right? Because the way I like to think about it is a brand wouldn't ask a web developer to create their website for free. You wouldn't ask your accountant to do your taxes for free. So why are we being asked? Everyone knows that, you know, influencer marketing is the new marketing trend.
Of course. Yeah.
So why are we still not being paid for our time? So yeah, that's kind of how it started. And it's something I'm super crazy passionate about. And a lot of my followers are as well. So I love connecting with them through mutual frustration.
Sure. Yeah. I was really surprised because I saw you did a poll in one of the stories that you highlighted, and it was, do you get paid for your content? And 73% of people, something like that, said, no, they don't.
Crazy, right? Like in this, in 2020, it's so like, and to work in an agency, I could never dream of not sort of paying someone for their time. And it seems to be the new normal for brands to just expect us to work for free.
Absolutely. And I feel like there is a point where you can't eat exposure, right?
Like, right. Exposure doesn't pay my bills.
Like, I feel like to a certain point, and maybe for people getting started, like it could be great and they could be super made up to see their posts on a big account. But I feel like you're right. There is definitely a boundary there. And especially for people like yourself, who I'm sure lots of time and effort and resources go into creating your posts. Mm. I think it's definitely like undervalued and like by brands.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, right? Like when I, and still even to this day, when brands reach out, it's so exciting. And, you know, particularly when it's a bigger brand and they say that they don't have the budget for it, you're like, oh, well, that's okay, because it's you. Like, this is so exciting. And so we accept this gifting, as they call it. And I feel like if everyone kind of just put their foot down and everyone said no, then the message would come across. Because if you say no, there's always someone else who's going to do it for free. So I guess another part of it is I'm trying to encourage people to also say no, so that, you know, it's impossible for brands not to pay us.
Yeah, sort of like for the good of the many.
Exactly.
So you've also, just speaking about your Instagram highlights there, you've also got a really useful hashtag Black Lives Matter highlight. And I was just wondering, how important do you think it is for influencers to be using their platforms to join in these kinds of conversations? Because obviously it'd be very easy for people to just not. So yeah, I was just curious what you thought about that.
No, it's super important. And I think in 2020, for us to just be raising awareness shows how, you know, we haven't really come that far in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think for a lot of influencers, particularly those who have a larger platform, it can be scary to speak out kind of in fear of saying the wrong thing. But I think it's important, if you don't have the words or if you can't find the voice to speak out, then amplify someone else's. You know, we don't always have to center ourselves in someone else's fight. So yeah, I think for influencers and for people who do have a platform, to share other, you know, creators or Black creators and really put a spotlight on them, especially, you know, in a time like this, can be just as important as speaking about it yourself. So yeah.
So for anybody who does want some resources and wants to learn a little bit more, I highly recommend looking at Chloe Weekend Muse's Instagram highlight, because there's some really useful things that you can do and get involved in on that, for sure. So what would you say is the best thing about being an online content creator? I've changed it from influencer, but slash influencer.
So many things. I'll start with, you know, the most shallow, and that's the free clothes.
Hey, that's not to accept that.
Yes, that's definitely one of the best sort of perks of it. But aside from that, you know, just kind of finding an outlet to share what I'm passionate about, and to kind of connect with other like-minded people, or even just as a source of inspiration. And I think especially this year, like, it's so easy for us to feel a bit, you know, uninspired and unmotivated, and social media has a lot to do with that. But also, like, to be able to go on there and just to see people, you know, putting their best work out and, you know, putting together these really beautiful pictures and content and outfits is one of my favorite parts, definitely.
That's amazing. So is there a worst thing? I mean, we may have already covered it, but is there an element of what you do that you don't love?
Yeah, I mean, probably one of the biggest things, and this certainly isn't for everyone, but because I work on social media and I play on social media, it's hard to kind of find the time to log off, because obviously by day I am social media assistant at Giraffe, on social media handling accounts and things like that, and then by night I'm Weekend News and sort of working on that hustle. So I guess it can become a little bit overwhelming and a little bit draining, but as I said, the positives always outweigh the negatives.
That's great. So when did you, just to circle back to what we were talking about earlier, when did you kind of start working with brands on social?
This is a tough one because I feel like once you do it for a while, it's hard to remember sort of like how
when
it started.
Began. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard to kind of pinpoint the year, but I think it was when I was around 2,000 followers and my feed looked completely different then. It's, I don't know how I sort of secured brand deals. but I do remember my first collab. I wasn't even sort of trying. I didn't even reach out. I just guess the old way of doing it was I posted a photo in an outfit, tagged a brand, and they reached out to me, which was like super exciting. So I definitely remember the first time it happened, but I'm not so sure when it was.
I think giving that like metric of say 2,000 followers is probably quite a useful timestamp, however quickly it's rocketed ever since then. So we've spoken about this a little bit and maybe what we don't like, but if a brand was to reach out to you on social, I just wonder if you have any guidelines or tips for brands reaching out for endorsement, because I'm sure there may be social media managers listening who want to approach influencers, but perhaps don't want to get it wrong. They don't want to damage that relationship before it starts.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is another one of the good things of kind of working and playing for both teams. I think it's super important when you're reaching out to someone to kind of make it personable. Like it's very easy to just send a mass email to your favorite accounts. But it always kind of helps to tell a person why you love their content and why they stood out to you. Flattery goes a long way. But I think most importantly, it's make sure that your product or what you're kind of trying to promote aligns with that influencer, because I do get a lot of people who will message me with the most random things that don't have anything to do with my brand or like fashion.
Yeah.
And that shows, like, if I've ever said yes and posted about it, like, my audience doesn't care. So
it's almost like a wasted endeavor maybe for both of you.
Exactly. And then it kind of, as a content creator, it makes you maybe look bad because it hasn't been received so well by your audience. But again, yeah, it's a wasted opportunity from the brand, because you could have asked someone who maybe aligned with you a lot more and their followers would have cared a lot more.
I'm curious, like, what's the most like random thing someone's tried to get you to promote?
A lot of random ones. I get a lot of like hiking backpacks, which I guess kind of translates to fashion, but not in the way that I would want it to.
Yeah.
Teeth whitening is always a big one. And it's one of the things I told myself when I started that I would never, ever, ever promote, just because that's like influencing 101, you know, everyone promotes teeth whitening at some point. So many.
So how do you like plan your content? You've got a super consistent feed and it's always incredible. How much like pre-planning goes into that?
A shameful amount. I'm kind of less less fussed about it now. I'm kind of just posting as I take. But I highly recommend for maybe any influencers who are starting out to invest in a planning app. And there's a lot of free ones, so invest was probably the wrong choice of words. That way you can kind of see your feed and move the photos around to see what looks best, which I think if you're kind of going for an aesthetic vibe is super important. But that's kind of it. I think the hardest part is thinking of a caption, right? Like,
for sure.
Isn't that the most painful part of uploading?
Yeah, and we can definitely relate to that in a professional and a personal sense.
Yes, the burnout is real.
And okay, so say you could maybe speak to your earlier self back when you were just getting started, or someone else out there who just really wants to grow their following on social media in a similar way that you have. What advice would you give them?
I think it seems like really generic and over-repeated, but definitely be patient. Like, I've been on the platform for, I've been, you know, hustling away for 5 years, and it's kind of only really paid off, I guess you would say, over the last year and a half. I've seen a real sort of growth. So it definitely doesn't happen overnight unless you're, I don't know, Addison Rae or Charlie, I don't know what her last name is, but the TikTok stars that seem to just go viral. I'd also say it's really important to engage. Like, I always say this whenever anyone asks for tips on social media, it is like you get out what you put in. So the more you interact with people and follow people and show interest in their content, they're really likely to do the same. But I think the most important thing that I've come to learn over the past sort of year is to celebrate your milestones. Because it's really easy to kind of get caught up in the numbers and get caught up in your goals. For me, I'm like really, really, really want to hit 10K. And I think, you know, with every 1,000 followers that comes, I'm like, okay, like this is good, but 10K, 10K. Mm-hmm. And I have to kind of remind myself that a few years ago, the thought of even getting 2,000 followers seemed impossible. Sure. So yeah, definitely kind of like, take a look on how far you've come and really kind of celebrate that, because it's super important to practice gratitude, especially when things are a bit slow or you feel like you're not performing your best.
That's really, really nice advice. And I think definitely a good one for many businesses and individuals.
Yeah, yes.
So obviously you're so immersed in social media, like you say, sometimes it's hard to switch off, but I was wondering if you had any perspectives on whether you think social media is changing. I mean, this has been a big year. We've had a lot of big causes. The platforms are constantly changing. New ones arrive. I mean, two years ago, who even knew what a TikTok was?
Yeah.
So don't you have any perspectives on that?
I kind of have contrasting views. And I was having a think about this last night, and I wrote down like two really like opposite things.
Okay.
And the first thing I've kind of noticed, which is really exciting, is that social activism is really blowing up and kind of building a following and building a community based on like what you have to say and what you kind of believe in and are passionate about, especially kind of in the political space or in the Black Lives Matter space or in sustainability. People are really interested in that, and people are actively seeking out, you know, voices to follow and to learn from, which I absolutely love. One of my favorite accounts to follow on Instagram, she's a sustainable fashion blogger, but she also talks a lot about, you know, the cultural and racial space in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And in a fun way, yeah. And she makes it super engaging and like enjoyable in a time where otherwise maybe people aren't as interested. And in the same kind of wavelength of that, I think authenticity is really, really on trend right now, which is so refreshing. And whether that be, you know, like taking the filters off your photos, or whether that be, you know, a lot of girls are showing their posed versus unposed and kind of just normalizing the realities that we all go through. So I guess in not so much in terms of how a platform's changing, but how is content changing? Those are definitely highlights for me. And on the contrasting side, I just wrote down becoming so fake, which really goes against what I just said. But I guess what I mean is, as you know, the social platforms become a bit more saturated, especially in the blogging sphere, people are really just doing anything they can to get noticed and to build their following. And it's turned into this kind of, I'll only follow you if you follow me. Or, you know, it's really become like a transaction. And this is something I talk about a lot on Instagram,
because like
it grinds my gears. Like, it shouldn't be transactional. If you like someone's content, follow them for their content. You shouldn't hold that follow hostage because you want to grow your audience. And that's something I've noticed massively over the past year, which is so frustrating.
I was going to say, I think this definitely is in play, like as that even on a personal level these days, I think it's incredibly like just, I know the average user and the people you follow that you know in real life, or maybe friends of friends, mm-hmm. that like, do they follow me back? Well, then I'm not following them. It's become a
exactly.
weird thing.
They wait for you to follow and then they'll do the same thing, which is so like disingenuous, and it's so transparent. Maybe not so much in, you know, your day to day, but
yeah,
definitely,
sure.
definitely kind of in that realm. It's mm-hmm. yeah, not a fan.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like you've really touched on something there. And part of me feels like there's sort of 10% of maybe like there's the cream on top of, you know, your notifications and stuff. And I feel like so much of that is the fake stuff, right? It's just people spamming on hashtags and just, you know, doing the work. But then obviously there's that lovely part where you do really connect with people, and it's, yeah, it's not transactional. There's like real value happening there. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of fakery about, and good on you for highlighting that. Great. Well, so the last couple of questions are just ones that we ask everyone, again, to like get to know you a little bit better. So do you have any tips for staying focused working from home?
Ooh, I'm like a perfectionist. So when I know I can't do something to like at my best, I just procrastinate. so that's kind of where I am at the moment. But I think it's important to switch up your space, whether that be like just change rooms, like go somewhere else, or if it's like, I don't know, like changing the decor in your office space, like, I don't know, light a candle or open the window or play some music. There we go. That's my next tip. Curate a playlist. I love during lockdown, Giraffe, we curated playlists within the team, and I've found a lot of bangers through that. So we have great musical taste within the company here. and something else we touched on earlier is to phone a friend, like stay social, whether that be, I don't know, texting a mate, you know, it's organizing a dinner so you have something to look forward to, or just calling a friend at work and ranting about a client, or, you know, just like,
what do we ever
talking
have to
about,
do that?
No, never. like talking about what you had for lunch, that kind of thing. I think it's super important just to see someone else and like interact with someone else. Yeah.
It can't be all work, no play, for sure.
Exactly.
So do you have a favorite podcast?
Oh, I have a few. There's a really great podcast by two Melbourne journalists called Shameless. Yeah, Shameless is a pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff, as they say. And they basically just do a roundup of, you know, pop culture events from the previous week. And the girls are journalists, so they're very like, well-spoken, and they provide some really important insights. So it's kind of like you're consuming trash, but at an intellectual level.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Shameless as well.
Yes.
Do you ever listen to Mamma Mia out loud? That's quite...
No, but I know, I think it used to be
similar
like
world.
A sister network. Yeah. Yeah, I've listened to a few episodes, but I definitely prefer Shameless. And then anything by Flex Mami. I don't know if you've heard about her. She's another kind of activist on social media, and she has a few podcasts which are just like amazing and all about like critical thinking and, you know, talking about really important topics, which is great.
No, it sounds like you've got a real balance there between like the
yes.
light relief and the stuff we should be listening to. Thank you for sharing. So how about books? Have you got any reads on the go that you can recommend?
I'm not a reader. I have like a handful of books in my house. Two are for decor. One is a dog psychology book that my boyfriend bought. So yeah. I'm
That's
not big on reading, but we have podcasts, you know?
That is very true. Like books for the ears. And you mentioned a influencer earlier, but you didn't say their handle. So I'm really curious who that was just while we're in the recommendation zone.
Of course. So the sustainable fashion blogger, her name is Maggie Zhao. Her handle on Instagram is ye_mags. Yeah, Mag. So ye_mags. She is amazing. I love her. And the other who I was just talking about podcast is Flex Mami. And I believe it is just Flex Mami, like M-A-M-I. There may be a dot in between. I'm not sure, but she is also amazing.
Great. Amazing recommendations. And what about TV? What is your current TV obsession?
Aside from rewatching Friends like 100 times, I'm really loving Emily in Paris, which we have spoken about off air. But it's just an easy watch. Like, I'm such a big fan of easy watches. You can be on your phone and still know what's happening. Yeah. And it's all about this girl who works in social media and then becomes an influencer. Yes, that sounds right up my street. So, yeah, I highly recommend. People have very differing views on it. I think you probably are not enjoying it as much as I am.
Look, I like it for the same reasons you do, for sure. Like, it's pretty to look at. It's got a good cast. I think from a maybe critical point of view, there are things I really don't like about it. But like on a personal level, I found the social media part of it, like, it's great. I mean, I'm only on episode 3, so maybe it levels out. But I was like, I think I choked on my cup of tea when she was like posting the way her Instagram followers go up. I just feel like you're perpetuating the stereotype of Instagram, which just isn't real.
It doesn't work like that, honey. I wish it did. I don't know if you noticed, but I think in the first episode when she like just moves to Paris and starts her new job, she gives this like quick spiel about social media and engagement that just like triggered me, because I was like, yep, I've given that spiel before. Like,
part of me like just tuned out of that. I was like, she's just saying buzzwords. She's just saying the word engagement. And then also she was like, you need to engage and like really build a community. And then all she does is post a picture with one hashtag, and I do not see any engagement or any community building.
And suddenly has 20,000 followers. Like, yes, Em.
I know. And I feel like there's enough people out there who think being a social media manager is so easy. And Emily, no.
Yeah, Emily, what are you doing? You're really... I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a TV show. It's quite funny. It's made by the same people, Darren Star, who created Sex and the City. And there's been a lot of comparisons between that. Are you a Sex and the City fan?
Love Sex and the City.
Yeah. I think like you can see where it's similar. I wonder if maybe journalists at the time looked at what Carrie Bradshaw did and was like, that's not real journalism, blah, blah, blah. So it's probably just that far. Age.
Well, I will say Sex and the City, Samantha in particular, is the reason I studied PR at university.
Wow.
And Carrie Bradshaw is always, I don't know for anyone else who writes, Carrie Bradshaw and Kevin MacLeod from Grand Designs, whenever I'm writing like a uni essay or like anything, those are the two voices that I'm writing in.
I love that so
Sex
much.
In the City, I owe Sex in the City everything, really. So maybe that is the Emily in Paris of the 90s.
Perhaps, yeah. And the clothes are incredible, right?
Oh, yeah. Gotta love the clothes.
Unbelievable. And then there was part of me as well who was like, why isn't she posting pictures of her clothes? I don't know. I got well too involved in her psychologically in the social media about this.
No, I agree.
Maybe I need to log off and just enjoy TV. Well, that is actually all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Chloe, and telling us all about you and your platform. You can hear more of Chloe and myself in group chats and coffee break episodes up and coming. So yeah, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out. You can, of course, connect with us on all major social channels and let us know what you thought about any of the things we discussed. We've been through our social media. You've been amazing. We will see you next time.